Other Indians.
Me and Pastor Josh. And I pull for the Indians too. They're important to different groups.
Praise and prayer time. Anybody?
We yes. Thank God we drove to Virginia and back 700 miles and are saved.
Amen.
And just lots of praises this week. Just my new job, and God's provided some financial provision that was totally unexpected. And so just
we got a financial gift.
Lots of blessings. Saw old friends, and it's just been a really great week.
Okay. How's Bob doing?
Not so good this morning.
Okay.
His back?
No, his right side doesn't work anymore, and it's just, he's in a lot of pain.
Hey, remember, the church with our upcoming chest of Joel Ash, and pray for the deacons. We've got a meeting today, the finance meeting. There's a finance report out there on the Welcome Center for the end of September. We'll be working on the budget today, so keep us in your prayers that we make good decisions on our financial resources.
Monthly?
According to this, we're $3,000 behind.
Wow.
Which is, considering our budget, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be made up in one week offering, if we had a good week.
Because it was more than that in the summer, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like $5,000
in the summer.
Well, traditionally, giving drops off during the summertime because people are on vacation and stuff. I was a finance secretary for about 8 years, and about tax time, believe it or not, it was some of the best times. I guess people are getting refunds. Yeah, getting returns back. And then in the summertime, it's some of the worst times.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else? Praise your prayer.
Let's remember that Trump retreat. Jennifer's been working. Jen here's been working really hard.
Hot air balloon ride.
Robert saw two different orthopedic surgeons in the last couple weeks, and they both told him that there's nothing left in his shoulder to repair, or that anybody around here could repair. One wanted to send him to Boston, and the other one said Chapel Hill. And what we're waiting for now is a referral to someplace, because they said, and I don't know what this is exactly, he needs a reverse shoulder replacement. He's already had the shoulder replaced once, but I don't know what a reverse replacement is, but that's what he needs. And I don't, they don't take care of the pain, but at least he'll be able to use his own arm.
It's a very specialized field, orthopedics.
So.
Wow.
It's just a matter of getting a referral, and it depends upon whether or not our primary care agrees with the orthopedist.
Right. So pray that they do.
Yeah.
How's Travis doing?
We can't fight them, because, that happened to us, a few years back, where I didn't have a procedure, and they didn't think it was necessary. But it was something that had to be biopsied that, it could have been, it needed to be done. Mm-hmm. And, we finally got it through because we just were persistent over it, mm-hmm.
These insurance companies, I mean, let's face it, they're not doctors. They're just money grabbers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Any word on Travis?
He's doing good. Mm-hmm. He's complaining a lot about the food.
If that's all he's got to complain about, he must be doing pretty good.
Well, he says that for $90 a day that the soldiers aren't getting fed the way they should be. So this looks like a lot of slop for them, and that the food is tasteless and it tastes like cardboard. And,
it's really awful.
So he's only eating breakfast, he's skipping lunch and dinner.
Oh, my goodness.
How's Todd doing?
He's complaining about the food.
shrimp the MREs.
There she is. They're eating out of Marmite's, and he said they get chicken every day. He's so fed up with chicken. But if the chief is to believe, then he will be
going.
But I don't have much faith in him.
Well, any of your husbands in the December pullout program?
That's what she. Todd's in Iraq. Iraq. So you should be home by Christmas.
That's supposed to.
Yeah. If you believe the politicians.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I would like to praise God for you, Brother Calvin, because I know it's Pastor Appreciation Month, and you lead us, and I do appreciate
it. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Anyone else? Praise prayer. Yeah.
I have a friend who's gone through a hard time. She, her dad is in critical condition, but he's in Connecticut, and she's here. And she didn't have a really great relationship with him growing up. He left when they were kids. And they just reconnected about 3 or 4 years ago. So they're getting to know each other. And just about 2 weeks ago, he was found passed out in his apartment. And they just thought it was an oxygen level issue, and they put him in an emergency room and sent him the next day. Well, he never came out of it. I mean, he's heavily sedated, and they have to do a trach, and he's on a ventilator and all. But then, during the course of some testing, they found a tumor, which they can't operate because of the ventilator and the, you know, and all that. So, she's having to deal with this, and now, you know, she's the person making the decisions. So, just pray for her. She had to go to Connecticut this weekend, and I think they're pretty. She's going to have to. Make a decision to take him off the ventilator. So, you know, just she's just
wow, just to reestablish him.
Yeah, reestablish and then you know be the primary person making these decisions. So she's really struggling.
Mm-hmm. And there's Tanya.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah, we have brothers and sisters here at church that are struggling, you know, looking for jobs or about to lose their jobs. So just pray for them.
We reestablished a relationship with Kyle Jones, who was one of our adopted sons, and he lives here in Fayetteville. And we invite him to come to church, and we're going to be after him to come to church with us. Because he hasn't been in church for a while.
Not really adopted, but, you know, he was at our house so much. Yeah. You know, his brother that got married this weekend, so it felt like son.
So we're praying that he will be open to coming.
Very good friends of ours from Pennsylvania. Their son called me. He's being PCS to Bragg.
Good.
And probably special ops. And he's in need of housing. So if anybody knows of any rental properties that you would recommend, let me know so I can let this young man know. He just finished sniper school up in West Virginia, and so he's on his way here in November and in need of off-base housing.
Is he single?
He just went through a divorce, so it was an ugly situation, and I'm trusting that the Lord will bring him here to West Fayetteville, and he needs to get reconnected spiritually as well.
Tell him, you know, a couple that's willing to open up their house, we'd be willing.
Yeah, he knows that. Yeah, we would. No, we would, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, yeah. His name is Eric.
Norma?
I just want to pray that this whole building addition to the house is done quickly because I'm so tired. But you know, I want to praise God because He's been sending me people to help me as far as, you know, what to look for that the builders aren't doing right. Mm-hmm. And you know, He's putting a lot of people in my life that are just helping me out with that. So
good.
I pray for my sister that just brought me in. Her name is Nellie. She's on the way to another sister's house down at Atlantic Beach right now, right where her safe trip.
Okay.
She's from Arizona.
Was this your older sister?
This was a younger sister that was here. Well, both of them that I spoke of are younger sisters. I haven't told anybody, but I'm from a large family. I had 7 brothers and 6 sisters.
Wow. Where do you fit in there?
3 brothers and 6.
Where are you in that line?
I'm third. I'm the matriarch right now, but two of us went ahead.
That is a big
brother
family.
Next to me, younger than me, have passed. The rest of us are still living all over the United States.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Don, could you lead us in prayer?
Father God, we thank you for this time and place that we can gather and study your word and fellowship together. To share needs that are on our hearts and minds. And Lord, it's amazing, even a small group like this, the things that are in our lives that we need you to help us to walk through and to guide us through, to give us wisdom and discernment, just represented in this small class. But Lord, we're grateful that you care about the big things and the little things. And we praise you for all that you do in our lives and all that you will do. And help us to be obedient to your direction, to your purpose for our lives. Give us purpose spiritually, that we would walk forward with boldness and be unashamed of the gospel you've granted to us. And Lord, it's a privilege to pray for these matters that have been brought forth this morning. Think of Bob, Brother Bob, and his pain and the things that he's going through and has gone through for a long time, Lord, that you might touch his body this morning and give him some relief in small ways. Lord, be with surgeons and decision makers as they look at what's going on and what might bring him long-term relief. So we would pray that you grant that to him. For Jen's friend, Tanya, and the decisions that this lady is faced with, Lord, give her strength, give her great discernment, and Lord, we pray that you might comfort her and her family at this time as they walk through this moment in their life. Lord, we pray for men that are deployed right now, for Norman and Linda Kay's husbands, and these fathers, Lord, that you continue to protect them, grant them well-being, and Lord, we just pray for their safety, and thank you for what they do in our stead, and for the good of this nation and freedom around the world. We pray for employment needs that are represented in this church body, Lord, that you might grant that to those that are seeking employment or a change in employment, Father, that you might give them opportunity to see what is available and that they might be successful in their endeavors. We pray for the finances of this church and of the families that are represented here, Lord. Thank you for how you have blessed us and the good stewardship that this church and its leadership maintains. Father, may you continue to give us wisdom in the handling of our finances at home and also here as a church body. Thank you for financial piece and the classes and the videos and the things that are making people make maybe changes in their lifestyle and better decision making, and we grant that that's we pray that you'll grant improvement in all of our finances, that we might be able to serve you better, to support your work in a better way. Lord, we pray for the things that outreaches, Trunk or Treat, and other outreaches that we're involved with, Lord, that you might bring those into our midst that don't know you and might be exposed for the first time to what is Christianity all about. And may we be shining examples for those in our community at events like that, but also just in our daily walk, that that we would be people that have a difference in our life because of the difference that you've caused in our life.
And yes.
So we thank you for that. Lord, thanks for, again, for your word and the study this morning. Thanks for Brother Calvin and his diligence to be prepared and to walk us through these different lessons. May we gain much from it, and may we apply much more from it in our lives. Thanks, Lord, for again for this day and for the worship service that follows. We look forward to fellowshipping and corporately worshiping you, and we thank you for all you've done in our lives and for your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.
Amen. Okay, Bible verse time. I've heard several people claim that they would be ready for today.
Amen.
So, let's do it this way. Everybody that claims that they're ready right now, raise your hand.
I need to verse a couple words, but I think I can.
You have your hand up?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right.
You want to give it a shot?
I think he's old enough.
Yeah, let's go, Dennis.
Okay.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9.
Yeah. Yeah. You said A instead of the for gift.
Oh.
Okay, next one. Everybody get one? This is a verse I couldn't remember where it was last Sunday. Maybe I can remember now. Thank you. Okay, our first lesson in this series was occupation stewardship. And then last Sunday it was giving yourself first about our possibly self-centeredness and how we're supposed to handle ourselves. And today is title is Redeeming Time. And I'm not a good person to talk about time management, so I don't manage my time very well as I should. But
I agree.
I'm reminded that often. Redeeming the time. Our key verse is Ephesians 5:15-16. It says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." First scripture we're going to look at is Ecclesiastes. The title of this portion is The Schedule of Life. King Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And he was a busy man. He was supposed to be one of the wisest men there was at that time. He had a kingdom that had his father had expanded all the way from the Euphrates down towards Egypt. It was a rather rich kingdom at the time. I think, if I recall right in the Bible, he had something like 700 wives and then some concubines. If one wife is reminding you of what you hadn't done or whatever, just think if you had 700 and then some girlfriends to remind you too, you know.
It's a different culture,
but you can imagine how busy he was with the kingdom he had and with all the domestic issues that he had with wives and children and stuff like that. And even though he had about everything I guess a man could want, including wisdom, he was still looking for the meaning of life. And he put his thoughts down in Ecclesiastes. And we're going to look at the first few verses of chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes. If you want to turn in your Bible, it's chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he has taken under the sun? One generation passes away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to his place where he rose. The wind goeth towards the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth around continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from which the rivers come, hither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear hearing, filled with hearing. The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, See, this is new? It hath already of an old time which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come and those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit." Read all through Ecclesiastes, and at least for me, I get a somewhat of a sense of depression, if that's all there is to life. And that's sort of what King Solomon's saying, is that there's nothing new. I've searched everything. I mean, we might feel that way in our own lives sometimes, you know. It's the same old thing again, you know. You go to Friday and then you take a little break, and Monday it starts all over again, kind of thing. But as Christians, we have a kind of hope that sort of transcends what we're doing here on earth. And looking through here, the next topic here is the time to be born. And on in, Father, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 2, it says there's a time to be born. And a time to die. We'll get to that. But we've got three titles here: a time to be born, a time of opportunity, and a time to die. In Psalm 139:13-14, "For you formed my inner parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works; my soul knows it very well." And then again in Jeremiah, and God talking. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Sort of like Solomon. What's my purpose here? Why am I born? Yes, Scripture tells us that God knows us before he's born. And why was I born in this country with this family and all that kind of stuff? All kind of questions that we can have about why we're here and why we're in this position and so forth. Years ago, how many of you read The Purpose-Driven Life? Mm-hmm. Years ago in a previous church, we took that as a Sunday school lesson. And each lesson that we had one chapter for each Sunday as a lesson, and I was a Sunday school teacher, and I went through it. One thing that sort of stuck with me, and that I believe it was chapter 3, I was looking for my book at home to verify it, but I couldn't find it. I think it's chapter 3. The author made a case that the way we are is the way that God intended us to be. And that just didn't sit well with me. If there's anything in the whole book I disagreed with, that was it, you know. And basically, I got from it, you know, if you was born a crack baby, that's the way God intended you to be born. Or if you were born deformed, that's the way God intended you to be formed. And that just didn't sit well with me. We come into a fallen world. Mm-hmm. And because we come in a foreign world, things happen. We're born.
People make choices.
Huh?
People make choices.
Yeah, people make choices, and there are consequences of those choices, you know. Unwed mothers, they don't necessarily have to be that way, you know, if they would abstain until they got married and so forth. So things happen, even though some less than desirable things happen. God can take those things and make something good out of it.
Amen.
But I don't believe God intended for everything to be the way it is.
That's right. Yeah.
We see that in Scripture with Adam and Eve and the place them in the garden and how God intended it to be, and then man fell. And because he failed, then the consequences of all that. But still, you know, we are born in this world, and however we're born, whatever our physical, mental, intellectual attributes are, God can take us and use us for his will. And it'd be something good and great can come of that. And Solomon, I think, is sort of looking for what's my purpose. He's a king now. He got a kingdom. And God blessed him with wisdom and all this stuff, but still he had a sense of something missing, seemed like to me, in his book of Ecclesiastes when he's writing.
He does, a relationship with God.
Right. And I think he had that at one time looking through Scripture, but it's something that you have to work at. You know, you can't neglect any relationship and have it to grow.
That's right.
So the time that we have here after we're born is a time of opportunity, next title, that we have to make the best we can of our time of our time of opportunity here on earth. Because when we die, you know, the book's closed. Or another book's open. In Hebrews chapter 9, 27, 28. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that comes the judgment. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So Christ is coming again. Whether we die or we're still alive when he comes again, we're going to have to give an account for our time here on earth, what we did, and how we managed our time for the glory of God here on earth. Second, Ephesians 5:14-19. For anything that becomes visible in light, therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. It tells us to make the best use of one time because the days are evil. Does that apply to us today?
Yes. Yes.
And God is just looking for faithful people. Mm-hmm. And he's not looking for... He's looking for you and me to be faithfully, lovingly doing what we do. That will bring glory and light in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With all the messed up things in the world today, there's all kind of opportunities for us as Christians to make a difference. And, well, we're getting into political season. Why is there, well, there are people who claim to be Christians and spiritual, running for office and stuff, but a lot of them are suspect. Why is it that there's more authentic Christians, you know, trying to get into positions of civil leadership? Seems to me like, as Christians, we, as a group, we've sort of withdrawn out of that political process. And my perception, because we've done that, then we've left less than moral and ethical people to lead us. And that's one of the reasons that we're in the shape that we're in.
Right, and that's why it's good for us to examine these people who claim to be Christians, and if they are, get them into office. And restore some morality, God willing.
And it's going to be a long road back. When we look at the history of the United States and some of the faith of some of our leaders, and compare it to what we have now. George Washington is a man of faith. And you read some of his stories and the faith that he had. It's just inspiring, and you wonder how come we don't have that kind of leadership nowadays.
Because they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
But you know, it's not just politics. You know, just every day you have to deal with right. work and all that. People are just greedy and you know, just wanting opportunity to better themselves, and even if it means, you know, taking advantage of the exactly government, how much money they can get out of this. I'm so tired of a lot of these programs that's all the ever it is, you know, and then the prejudice is still there, you know, harassment, all kinds of frustration. So it's not just like, it feels like every day it's like that, and you're just trying to make it through, and you know, it's
overwhelming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As Christians, we've got to persevere, though, and try not to let the world drag us down.
Well, and as Christians, like, we need to vote. That's the sure. greatest what you can
yes,
do.
Yes, and I voted 2 weeks ago. He called me and told me to vote.
But you ain't got a whole lot to vote for. You have to vote again.
And then I told him we needed to read about these people that are running up for mayor and all that stuff because we didn't know who they are, what they stand for. So we had to do last minute research. And even that, you don't really see much. Mm-hmm. You know, out there.
Hard to, you don't have a whole lot to vote for.
Well, that's my point. We need to have more Christian-based leadership.
It was really bad because I was number... It was about in the afternoon when I voted, and I was like number 12.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's just...
There's just no interest in that political process anymore. Yeah.
Well, it's so corrupted. It's like...
Haven't you the lesser
Governor Joker running around through China at our expense. Let's give her to China.
Mm-hmm. Verse 15 of what I just read, it says, look carefully where you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. It's hard to discern. This is sort of what we're talking about now. It's hard to discern sometimes from what is wise and what is not wise. And you really have to make an effort to like Christy said, research things and stuff like that to make intelligent decisions, especially when there's so many political correct types of language out there that words that are used have a different meaning when they're used in certain contexts. People are twisting things around and so forth. Says, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What's the best way to get that understanding of what God's will is?
Get in His Word and study.
Get in His Word.
Study His Word.
That's right.
That's the
and then
way.
You need to seek the, you know, mentorship, you know, people around you that have that to offer, you know, that you're just so thankful for. Because mm-hmm. sometimes you talk to them and you kind of lift your spirit and give you guidance.
And there's so many denominations that don't emphasize studying God's Word, too. And it was... I said it before, it's refreshing when I come to this church to see the level of biblical knowledge in this church that I didn't see in my previous church. So we have a time of opportunity to work out God's will and look towards your future when we will be with our Lord and Savior. And then there's time to die. Again, in Ecclesiastes 3:2, and it says, and there's a time to die. In Psalm 31:15, my times is in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. In other words, God is in control of our time. How much time that we have here. We don't understand sometimes. How come some people's lives cut short and other people live quite a long and full life? We don't understand it. And my own family. My father died when he was 53 of a heart attack. I'm 60. My brother died when he was 47 of a heart attack.
Chain smokers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's factors, but still, you don't understand why. I mean, there's contributing things, but still. But there's other people smoked all their lives, you know, and lived to be a ripe old age. Yeah. Yeah, there's factors, but still, you don't understand why sometimes. But God's in control of our time here. And we don't know how long that time is. Uh-huh. So we've got to make the best use of that time that we can before we
trust that God will rescue us from the hand of our enemies and from our persecutors. Isn't that interesting? Because, well, I'm reading in Luke today, and Zechariah's prayer was, you know, no wonder the people of Israel were looking for Jesus to be the king that was going to save him from the Romans. Most of his prayer is Jesus is coming to save us from the Romans, save us from our enemies, and establish a kingdom where we can do our worship without fear and with rejoicing. And I'm looking at that prayer of Zechariah, and I'm going, wow. You know, I don't know how many people in that time heard his prayer, but you know, it's almost like this verse. Save us from our enemies.
Well, a lot of the promises that God has made in the Scripture, especially the Old Testament, were conditional promises. You know, if you will do this, then I will be your God. And they didn't do that. So they suffered the consequences of that. Hebrews 9:27 again, just as appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment. And in Revelation 21:8, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, their portion will be the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Yes, there's a time to die, but for Christians, we just die once. The physical death. For those that are not saved, they have another death to look forward to. And the biblical definition of death is separation. We have a separation from the physical world. Second death, for those that go through judgment, is those that are separated from God eternally. But there's a time that we have to look for to die.
Let's be busy trying to tell these people that they can be saved from that second death.
One of the things that bothers me is I sort of envision sometimes looking at the judgment seat and the opportunities that I've let pass in my life.
Same here.
That I knew at the time what God wanted me to do, chose not to do it, and then after it's gone, you can't go back and recover that. Mm-hmm. I mean, those times are gone. And we have to give an account for those times. Okay, stewardship of life schedule. Now, I told you, I'm not good about scheduling my time and doing things I'm supposed to do. I work a whole lot better if somebody's aggravating me to death. You know, you're supposed to do this at this time. And I've got somebody that can help me with that oftentimes. Stewardship of life schedule. First reference for God is Psalm 90. It's a prayer of Moses. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. If you want to paraphrase that, it could be something like, Lord, teach me to see the opportunities for wise living each day. And we sort of talk about this before. A lot of people live as if there is no judgment.
Right.
Well, they live as if when I die, that's it, so I'm not going to worry about it. And
that's most of the people today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fits in with that saying, you only live once.
Yeah. Yeah. But Moses, in his prayer, he says, teach us to number our days. Teach us to be aware that each day is given to us by God, and we should make the best use of it to fulfill His will for each day that He gives us. 1 Corinthians 2:12-13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truth to those who are spiritual. And in Colossians 1:9-10. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every work, and an increase in the knowledge of God. And with that wisdom that we get from God, from His Word, understand what God would have us, we can make the right plans and recognize opportunities that God might send our way. If we're not knowledgeable of God's Word, we can easily make bad decisions that are not pleasing to God. And there's so many people that call themselves Christians that do not delve into God's Word, and they're really susceptible to all these charismatic people that come up with all these weird ideas that are not doctrinally correct.
Amen. That's right.
And we get that knowledge from God's Word and yield into the Spirit. In our Bible verse today, when I was studying it, it says, "For by grace you are saved through faith." When I was studying that, I felt like there ought to be a comma after grace to help me to, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." And what does that refer to? "And that not of yourselves." Does it refer to saving, or does it refer to faith? And my mind, when I'm reading through here, "that" refers back to faith. Because we're saved by grace.
Mm-hmm.
It says through faith. "And that not of yourselves."
Yeah,
that faith, don't, that's not our faith.
No, it's not.
That's the faith that we get from yielding to the Spirit that builds that faith in us.
That's right.
And if we don't yield to the Spirit, we don't have that faith. And then it says, "It is the gift of God." What? It? What? What is it?
Faith.
I mean, these are kind of things when you memorize Bible verses,
you
look at it closer and you try to analyze it. It could be saved or it could be faith, either one. So, and again, that sort of seems to me like it refers back to faith. Because we, you know, the Scripture tells us nobody can come unless the Father draws him. It has,
draws him by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. We have to be drawn by the Holy Spirit. And we have to yield to the Spirit. To have
that drawing. By yielding to the Spirit, you're really yielding to God. Because they're all three in one, one and three. So God the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit uses the faith to yield even, and then helps us yield to God. And part of that yielding process is confessing your sin. Recognizing that you're a sinner. I'm a sinner before a holy God.
I've heard the pastor, I think, mention it maybe once or something here, but in a Methodist church, John Wesley believed in what he called prevenient grace. And that is, before a person ever realizes it, the Holy Spirit is working on you to draw you to God. And he it's the Holy Spirit that takes that seed that somebody may plant in you and grow it in you until you have a desire to learn more and so forth.
Yeah, he just made a term for what is a spiritual matter that mm-hmm. takes place.
I don't know where it's at, but you know, in some of the Old Testament scripture, it says that God is going to put a new heart in his people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're looking forward to that day.
Okay, a couple of other verses under that title. James 1:1-5. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." And James 4:7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Again, it's talking about yielding yourself to God, to the Holy Spirit that's working with you, so you will can better discern the will that God has for you in your life. Next title, set priorities. Difficult thing for me to do, set priorities. But to become an effective steward of your time. And this is the problem I have with financial peace. They want you to write everything down.
Well, that's a way of establishing your priorities.
I know it is. I understand that. I know it works.
And I really hate to do it too, because I'm a free spirit.
I know it works, but I hate to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Same here.
They have another thing called seven habits of effective people.
Leadership. Yeah.
Leaders or something. Ain't no use for me to go to that class. I ain't going to do that. But that... I know it works. It's just... I don't like to do it. But we have to set priorities. Psalm 37:4-8. "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. The key to the whole thing in setting your priorities is having the right kind of desires. And if you have the right kind of desires, the desires that please your Lord and Savior, then you can set your priorities best based on your desires. Don't we do that anyway? You know, if we're a self-centered person, we set our priorities for ourselves.
Right.
But if we're God-focused, then we'll set our priorities based on that. So delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Everything else will work out.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else will work out as long as you've got the right focus. Same in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What all these things? Everything your heart desires because your focus is right.
Well, I was talking to Joy about this last week, you know, about praying and mm-hmm. waiting for God to answer your prayers. And I remember her saying before that, you know, you pray, if you feel like you never hear from God about the desires of your heart. Mm-hmm. Are the desires of your heart really are the desires that God wants you to have? And if not, change the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, I would just say, I remember, probably we were talking about that last Sunday, just as far as this particular verse here. By the desires of your heart.
Well, it's a conditional promise, though. You have to delight yourself in the Lord. Then he will give you the desires of your heart.
Correct.
So, whatever God has set upon you that is delighting yourself in the Lord, that is what you need to do.
I'm a visual person, and I don't know, some of you have probably seen this visual representation kind of this, how somebody takes a jar, and if they put in like sand and marbles and then try to put in a bigger ball, like a golf ball or a tennis ball or whatever, it won't fit. But if you put the bigger ball in first and then put the marbles and the sand, everything fits in the jar. So it's kind of a picture of how if we put God first, and I know it's true in my own life, you know, if I start getting too busy and not putting God first, it seems like there's never time, you know, things don't go as well. But if you put God first, then all the other stuff, either some of it just doesn't become important, or, you know, somehow it always fits.
We're not supposed to give God our leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's right. He's the first.
Under title Set Priorities, it's got three things listed there: God's will and work, the Lord's day, and the Lord's servant. Under the Lord's will and work, of course, we've been talking about this already, it should be our first priority. 2 Corinthians 8:5, and this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. I don't know if you remember or not, but we had that scripture last week.
Yeah.
That's talking about the Macedonians, that even though they had very little substance and a lot of them probably lost their trade guild type jobs because they became Christians and so forth, still they begged Paul to allow them to give money for the saints back in Jerusalem that were suffering, and they made that their first priority instead of themselves. And he was holding that up to the Corinthians as an example of what God's people would do. And if we have the right kind of biblical worldview, that everything that we're looking at and everything we're doing will have a desire to serve the Lord. And there's so many people that don't have that nowadays. There's so many people have self-centered kind of worldview that the government owes me a living, the government owes me this and that and the other. If I'm not happy, you know, it's somebody else's fault. It's never my fault that, you know, things are not working out, kind of thing. A second scripture there is Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And how do we renew our minds?
Through the Word of God.
Best way is studying God's Word.
And having a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah. When we study God's Word, that leads to communion with God and understand better what God would have for us to do with our life, our time. We're talking about time today. How we should best use our time. Then the Lord's Day. Day of worship. That should be primarily in a corporate setting. And should be a day of worship and service. There's so many people that don't see importance in that. There's some people that can't do that. You know, people in, say, like healthcare or law enforcement and so forth. But they still need to set aside a time period to devote to the Lord. You know, if they can't do it on a Sunday in a corporate worship, maybe they can do it on a Wednesday night, or maybe they can do it in a home Bible study with somebody or something along those lines. But we still need to have that time during the week that we devote to our Lord. Acts 27, we just got some instances of the Lord's Day. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intended to depart the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. Again, talking about the first day of the week or the Lord's Day. And in 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of the week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. Now, Paul's talking again about, and Gibbon's act of worship. He's talking to the church about, he's making a circuitous route here, and he's asking to collect an offering for the saints. Instead of them trying to scramble when he shows up on site, he's telling them, do a methodical way. The first of every week, you set your tithe. You don't say tithe here, but set your tithe aside so when he comes, it will be available.
And he's also encouraging them to meet on the first day of every week, mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm.
In Hebrews 10:24-25, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as it is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. As Christians, we're called to encourage one another, and what better way to do that than to assemble as God's people, at least one day a week, so we have an opportunity to hear other people. Everybody's praise and prayer concerns and share their lives with them and give them encouragement and so forth. How better to do that in a corporate environment than intend to come together one day a week to worship the Lord and share and encourage. And then Lord's Servant, next title. We're about to run out of time here. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. When we glorify God in our body, we also have to do that. We have to take care of our bodies. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that is pushing away from the table. doing exercise, whatever. Get enough sleep at night and so forth where we're rest and relaxed, where we won't be grouchy with somebody the next day, whatever it takes. We're supposed to be taking care of our body, because our body also is not our own. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 1:1-2, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on this law he meditates day and night. So to be God's servant, you know, we have to have effective devotional time. And that's probably best done in a quiet place, away from everybody. You know, if you got one of these chaotic homes, you may just want to take a walk, you know, to both get exercise and to be alone with God and stuff like that. But we have, to be God's servant, we have to have that kind of relationship and devotional time with Him, so we can not only keep our body in good physical shape, but our mind, our spirit, in good shape also, in a relationship with Him. A couple more topics there. Scheduled purposes. Again, I'm not a good guy to be talking on that. And submit to providence. we have to challenge ourselves to evaluate the time that we have and to determine if we are using the time that God has given us effectively to accomplish His will for us. And with that, we're over time. We'll close. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time together to encourage each other, to share with each other's praises and prayers, Lord. We pray that You'll continue blessing this church, Lord, that we may be able to reach out to those that are lost. We ask that You help us to be the light that we should be to the world, Lord, that we may shine and be a reflection of Your light. We ask Your blessings upon the pastor today as he delivers the sermon. We pray that it may touch each of us. And as we go into the sanctuary, Lord, we pray that our words and deeds and songs of praise will be pleasing in our sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If anybody has any suggestions or comments or anything you want to bring up about the budget, I'll be glad to listen.